Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to approach to you tonight, that you've put that into our hearts. From little children, many of us, and others along the way, you've revealed yourself to our hearts, and we're thankful for that. We ask, Lord, that you would come among us tonight, heal the sick, and that demons would be cast out by the preaching of the word. And I pray that you will fill your people tonight with a fresh filling of your Holy presence. We want to yield to you, Lord, in that manner tonight, in Jesus Christ's name. I pray that you will anoint these scriptures to our hearts in ministry of it and in the hearing of it. We know that they are inspired, and we ask, Lord, that our hearts would be quickened by hearing your words. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these blessings. Amen. And please remain standing. We're going to have two Bible texts to read. Our first is in Romans chapter 1, the first 7 verses. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Amen. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our second reading is in 1 Corinthians 3:16. That'll be easy for you, won't it? 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You may be seated. Our subject title this evening is, Who is the Spirit of Holiness? Who is the Spirit of Holiness? Our subject tonight is holiness, and it is not a new word to any of us. In fact, every Christian church in the world would say that they believe in holiness, and they do believe in holiness, saying that God is holy. Although they each have their own individual definition of the subject called holiness, with their own various standards regarding it. This results with thousands of various standards of the holiness subject throughout the millions within thousands of Christian religions worldwide, all each having their private interpretations of the word. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 19 and through 21, we're reading. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Amen. Knowing this first, said Peter, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 2, the first two verses. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I want to also go to Amos 3, 1 through 8. For some of you may be taking notes. It's a common text. We'll read the first 8 verses of Amos 3. Yeah. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have not taken anything? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
Amen.
The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who will but prophesy? God, according to his word in Amos 3, 7, interprets his own word by only one chosen man in each age being his vindicated prophet in that age.
Amen.
That was true way back in the Old Testament with Noah.
Right. Yes.
And following forward, Moses.
Yeah, praise God.
And as Jesus was doing his ministry, then, in talking with the scribes, those of Abraham's descendants, they said, well, we believe in a prophet too. We believe in Moses. But they would not believe Jesus. But Jesus has had a witness, a prophet witness, all down through. And when Jesus came to John Baptist on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus spoke to John and gave him a message for each of the seven church age messengers. Even though they were not each a prophet, major, Paul was, and Brother Branham is, but God, Jesus, had a message to speak to each one of them. And as the last time when I was here and ministered and brought out in the book of Revelation that the seven spirits of God, several times it says it there in the opening, the seven spirits of God. I talked to a oneness minister one time after I heard the message and came into it and had been friends with him before. I simply asked him, who are the seven spirits of God? Since he believed in one God, one spirit. And as we know, the seven spirits of God is the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
God himself, and that is anointing One in every church age, those seven messengers.
Yes.
And when Jesus went to take the book out of the right hand of him that sits on the throne, mm-hmm. The title deed for earth, mm-hmm. the book, and it was sealed. There was no one worthy to even look on the book, right. let alone read it or touch it.
Yes.
But there was, as there came that voice to John and said, there is one that's worthy.
Right.
And the 24 elders, and they all cried out that there was one that was worthy.
Right.
And what a shout went up when he took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And one place, Brother Branham says, he took the Bible out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The Bible is the composite of God communing with his prophets on the earth and guiding them through the times that they have. And the Lamb himself with seven horns had seven eyes, that Lamb that John saw. And that was the seven spirits of God, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit throughout every church age.
Mm-hmm.
Now going to our text in Romans 1, the first seven verses, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And declared, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The Spirit of holiness is God himself.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now going to our text in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God,
yes.
and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He dwells in you.
Amen.
We've heard that many times. And if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
yes.
he is dwelling within you.
Amen.
If any man defile the temple of God, your body,
yep.
his temple,
yes.
him, that person, shall God destroy.
Mm-hmm.
For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are. So let me say here why most people are not receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I remember ministering in many churches of my ministry and years ago, and different ones I remember specifically. In the close, I would ask some to come forward that didn't know Christ, or how many want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and several hands would go up. And then I go back again in a few months to the same church and ask the same thing at the end of a service and see the same persons raise their hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They went all that time without receiving the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to speak to you this evening at this point, inject this, why most people are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Earlier, Jesus breathed on his disciples, promising them, saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He was not giving them the Holy Ghost at that time. He was promising to them that the Holy Ghost would come, and he's telling them to receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit came 50 days later.
Mm-hmm.
on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:1, in the previous chapter, it says there's about 120 that were there. And in Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and you know the record of that, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
One place Brother Branham says nothing is said about them even praying in the upper room.
Right.
And nothing said about them kneeling.
Mm-hmm.
They were seated. And they were waiting, but they were in agreement to keep the message of Jesus Christ. 3.5 years he had spoke a message to them.
Yeah.
And they were there in response to a message.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost quickened them.
Amen.
Yes.
Following the infilling of this 120 people, there were some, they said, well, what will we do? Because this Peter's preaching a sermon and bringing conviction upon these people.
Yeah.
They are convicted of themselves because they had crucified the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so they responded to Peter and said, well, what shall we do?
Yes, repent.
Peter set this sentence before them that they were guilty of doing this, speaking to the Jews. So under conviction, the people ask what they could do to be saved and take that guilt away for crucifying Jesus Christ. Peter gave the prescription. Brother Branham calls it a prescription.
Yep.
But we know that common through drugs, medications.
Mm-hmm.
Peter gave the prescription, which are only three ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Only three ingredients in God's prescription to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to look at that according to why most people don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Peter then said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we know that by heart. So there was only three ingredients. The first ingredient in this prescription is repentance.
Amen.
One place Brother Branham said, repentance is the message of every age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Peter said unto them, repent.
Amen.
And that's the failure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the failure.
Yeah.
And people not having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The next one was be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You must do it correctly in his name.
Amen.
And so many have done it correctly. They found someone when they seen that and they understood that the scripture is saying that and it means them, that they seek out someone to baptize them in the name. For there's no salvation in any other than in the name of Jesus Christ. So you must be correctly baptized.
Amen.
In his name.
Amen.
A must that you must do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the third ingredient making the prescription is ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So God will do that. So we know that God will keep his word.
Yes.
And he will do that.
Amen.
There's three places that Brother Branham said, if you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you are immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
and you come up, then that makes God a liar. Well, we know he's not going to be a liar.
Right.
So there has to be a problem in these ingredients somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be with God fulfilling his word.
Right.
And it's not going to be with the many hundreds and thousands that's baptized in the name rather than titles.
Right.
So it goes back to this word, repent.
Yes.
And Brother Branham brings this out through several messages, but we don't have time to go into all of that tonight. And he brings out that it must be a thorough repentance.
Yes.
And so people that are not thoroughly repented, they just repented of a few things, repented of the most noticeable ones. Mm. And that's different with each person.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Branham brings out that that would be the only reason they haven't thoroughly repented. So he said, what does that do? They go down a dry sinner, and they come up a wet sinner. If we only could realize the importance of the Holy Spirit, God's self, indwelling us, that would change everything and be thorough in it. If you ever want to know what you have not repented of, it's usually the first thing that comes to your heart and mind when you get down to pray. Up it pops, and then you either ignore it or you think, well, it'll be all right. And the more years that go by like that, you really think it's all going to be all right. But God doesn't change his ingredients in this formula. What you need to do is when God puts his finger on it, and he puts it on all of us if we've done wrong and not made it right. Amen. I want to read some of the things that God's prophet has said about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In 1965, August the 29th. Compare this now, how much alike that man and his wife, both in God's Eden, without one stitch of clothes on them, and knew it not. For why didn't they know it? They were veiled in their senses of nakedness by the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. They could look right at each other and they didn't know that they were naked. All the animals were naked.
Yes.
And they were naked.
Yeah.
But it was veiled to them. In the Philadelphian Age message of the Seven Church Age book, and men of that age, as even today, were making the same mistake as the Jews took refuge in the synagogue form of worship. So in the Philadelphian Age, they were taking refuge in the church. And in that case, it was under John Wesley. That was the time for sanctification. It is not joining a church that counts. The life is not in the church. The life is in Christ. This is the record that God hath given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Brother Branham quoting, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life.
Yeah.
Man is made holy by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is the Spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead, that indwells us and makes us holy with his holiness.
Amen.
We're not going to get to heaven with definitions of what we think holiness is, other than what God has declared holiness is.
Right.
And that's going to satisfy him then.
Praise God.
The Cruelty of Sin message in 1953, April the 3rd, quote, brother, I've been around the world pretty near three times, and I've never seen a holy roller yet. No, sir, I've seen holiness, but not holy rollers. That's the name the devil tacked on the church. When some would fall on the floor and they'd roll. And so they would say, well, they're holy rollers.
My goodness.
They got one word right, was holy. God said, without holiness, no man shall see God.
Yeah, that's right.
You can suit yourself about it. That's God's way.
Amen.
Without holiness, no man or woman will see God.
Yeah.
Another message, the resurrection of Lazarus, preached in 1953, November 22nd, in Evansville, Indiana. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in a bodily, physical resurrection. I believe in the physical, bodily return of Jesus Christ. I believe that his church is his representative on the earth now.
Amen.
I believe that the church is washed with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the church is a Holy Ghost filled church.
Yeah.
And preaches holiness to the very extreme.
Oh my.
Oh my. So the preacher hits on certain things.
Yes.
Things that the prophet has showed forth. And some people says, well, you know, that's a clothesline religion.
Yeah.
Brother Branham had a term for that. He said, if you're not preaching a clothesline religion about these things,
right.
He said, you're not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Right.
So he didn't define what extreme was, but he says, the church is filled with the Holy Ghost and preaches holiness to the very extremes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
I might just express a little bit about that when we talk about the blood of Christ and what he's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning the blood of Jesus Christ, there's three baptisms, one of the earth before the millennium. The first is Noah and the flood.
Yep, that's right.
And God baptized the earth with water. And then he baptized the earth with his own blood on Calvary.
Yes, praise God.
And that was the blood of his body dropping onto the earth. And then, of course, it'll be baptized with fire and a great Armageddon to sweep throughout the world.
Yes.
I think we're getting close to some of those battles right now.
Yes, Lord.
But then I've heard a few comments made as time goes on. It gets more and more. Some would say, well, the blood of Jesus Christ is flowing in my veins. They have songs about it. And that's not true. The blood of Jesus Christ, physical, was spilt on Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins. And we don't have that blood. We look back to a finished work on Calvary. The Old Testament saints look forward to it, a sacrifice. They did all those animal killings in the Old Testament, looking forward to the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the only one worthy to take away the sin of the world. And all those animal sacrifices only covered it until the atonement.
Yeah,
and then in the New Testament, we look back to that finished work.
Amen.
It's our faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, taking our place on Calvary, and that his shed blood atoned for our sins.
Amen.
But we don't have his blood within us. He's not in our veins. And yet others will just sing of it, you know. We have the Holy Ghost in us.
Amen.
As you well remember the different places where Brother Branham says that God got the body when Jesus ascended. And we got what was in him, the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. The grace of God. Following that word extreme, there's a quote, redemption by power in Louisville, Kentucky. I talked to the pastor there before he passed away, where Brother Branham had meetings in Louisville. And redemption by power, this quote is, the circumcision today is the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
All, said Stephen, the Holy Spirit circumcised in the heart, cutting away the things of the world.
Yes,
it used to be the old-fashioned holiness church, lived it, acted it, lived like it.
Mm-hmm.
The old-fashioned. But today, he continues, it's just like the rest of the world. It's a disgrace. We let down the bars. There was a Pentecostal holiness church just a few blocks from my home when I was being raised, and I would visit there. It's the church that Oral Roberts used to be a member of until he moved himself into the Methodist church. And they're very much the same, all the Trinitarian Pentecostal organizations. And they believe in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
They did. But you see, they still have a standard, but it's not the standard of God. My wife and I was in Memphis, Tennessee one year for the General Council meeting. I believe the year was 1962. And they took a vote on the floor. We were in caucuses around. My wife was with me. And they brought up a subject that needed to be changed from their statement of faith. And that was against women painting themselves, cutting their hair.
My.
Now they paint their faces and their hair. You see that around.
Yeah.
My. So they took a vote for this General Council of the Assemblies of God International organization there, and that become part of was taken out of their statement of faith. It just wasn't there anymore. They had stopped preaching about it, and so that made it official. Yes. Then to move on with this subject, in 1954, and it was this sometime in September, Brother Branham had a message called Have Faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
He was in New York City at the time, but we don't have the exact day. Along came a little fellow from England by the name of John Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
He measured to the people a little closer. He cut the ruler in a little closer. Could measure closer, sanctification, as they called it in them days, the second work of grace. Look what he done. He introduced holiness to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
And then Brother Branham is in prayer in that same service in New York, quoting his prayer. We thank thee for those who have been called out.
Yes.
You said that the ones that escape in that day, the branch of the Lord, the people of God would be beautiful. And we thank thee for the beauty of holiness,
mm-hmm.
clean, Holy Spirit-filled people, living for you.
Thank you, Lord.
By your grace, they are this. So this is the way God wants us to be.
Amen.
So, you know, this church could have a list too. Say, this is our statement of faith, and this is our standard of holiness, and measure all the dresses that come in, and a lot of things that we won't do.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a standard when God sends a prophet.
Yeah, for
What he preaches for, that's holy.
Yes.
And what he preaches against,
yep.
You don't want to be doing that.
That's right.
I know some feel that maybe they don't need to follow the message anymore. But this prophet, God stood with him.
Amen.
To the very last service.
Amen.
And right all the time of his life.
Yes.
And he never left his side.
Amen.
I believe he's a true prophet of God.
Yes.
And then another message in 54, October the 3rd in the morning, the word became flesh, preaching in Jeffersonville. It's got to be a change. Here it is, a change of the heart, not of this physical thing, but the heart of the soul. In something anchors till your thoughts, that way is dull. You don't see that no more.
Yeah.
You just see the Lord Jesus. You see righteousness and holiness and purity and love and grace.
Yes.
That's when you've been changed.
God.
What is a convert? Convert means to change something over. And your thoughts, your habits, your being has been changed from a sinner to a Christian. This is not on the board, and when I was here last, I might have read it. I don't remember. Honor of an angel visiting your home. Did I read that here? Pardon? Oh, you heard it? Anybody else hear it? Did I read it here? You don't think so? Okay. This is the quote from the unchangeable Word of God in Lakeport, California. Lakeport is also where he was in meetings and the pillar of fire come down, and he talks about the seven, about the four living creatures being behind him. And I kept that photograph on my desk every day of my editing of the spoken word for Brother Branham. It's my favorite.
Thank you, Jesus.
So what he said here, the unchangeable Word of God, July 24, 60. See what kind of a home. So honor an angel visiting your home. You honor an angel visiting your home.
Yes.
See what kind of a home an angel comes to. A home that keeps the commandments of God. A home of people that walks upright before God. If you want the honor of an angel visiting your home, have a home ready for him to visit. Prepared and ready under the blood of the Lamb, the angels of the Lord come to such places. Isn't that beautiful? Trying to find where I was here. Jeff. Change. Yeah, first thing, you know, it is in your heart. Then you express it with your lips, and then it materializes, and that's what you are. That's the previous quote. The word became flesh in Jeff. This new quote is 1956, September 2. There's only one thing and only one place in the Bible that has ever acted that made a person take off their clothes and they were devil possessed. That's right. It's the truth. And it's no compliment on that. Compromising, it's the truth. It's the devil that gets into those people that makes them strip their clothes off.
Yeah.
It's the devil.
Yeah.
You don't mean to be wrong, but woman, it's the devil doing that.
Yes.
It used to be wrong for holiness women to wear paint on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And now they just gob it on anyway and sing and shout and praise the Lord. like there was nothing to it.
Yep.
Oh, brother, do you realize that that's the devil?
Yep.
That's a doing that?
Yes.
Purpose in your heart that you'll live, if it's old-fashioned, live old-fashioned.
Yep.
And serve the Lord God of the heavens and earth.
Yep.
Purpose in your heart.
Amen.
The message, Abraham in Brooklyn, New York, 1956, December the 8th. Calvinism is all right as long as it stays true to the Bible.
Right.
When it gets off on the wrong limb, then it's no good.
Right.
Arminianism, holiness, is correct as long as it stays in Bible holiness. Not your holiness, but His holiness, say. Then it's not my holiness. I'm not depending on my holiness. I have none. But I'm wholly trusting in His holiness. See? It's here. He's the one who did it. Not my works, but He finished works that I... But His finished works... that I rest assured that I was received into the Beloved, and when the Beloved was received by God, God received me in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That settles it, see? No negatives, no ifs and ands. It's all finished.
Amen.
A finished work.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And then in Oakland, California, he preached a message, 1957, Hear Ye Him,
mm-hmm.
March 22. The Holy Spirit will tutor the children by the direction book of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Word.
Yes.
God will raise His church by the Word, and the Holy Spirit will teach the church the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Not the catechism, not the rules of the church, but the power of the Word of the living God.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will give that to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Did not our blessed Lord say, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth
Amen.
Out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
First spoken by Moses in the Old Testament, then by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing the Holy Spirit will teach. And when the Holy Spirit teaches unadulterated holiness before the Lord, how do you think the Holy Spirit feels to bring the word before the Father that were selfish? That we're unconcerned. We'll stay home on prayer meeting nights to watch old religious programs. Uncensored with dirty jokes and everything, and then calling ourselves the Church of the Living God. What do you think He thinks about that? In the message, The Lamb and the Dove in Oakland, California, 1957... This is March the 5th. You don't hear that preached on too much by evangelists anymore. It's been let run haphazard, any way it can go. But I'm just one of the old-fashioned type that believes in good old-fashioned holiness. I believe, you say, that's a big word for a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm one of them Baptists that got the Holy Ghost. That believes in real, genuine, born-again holiness.
Amen.
Certainly, I believe the tree is known by its fruit.
Amen. Yes.
The Lamb and the Dove, same message in Oakland, California. To see a pig, I'm not at all surprised to see a pig out in a manure pile
right.
rooting.
Yeah.
He's a pig. That's his nature.
I
wouldn't holler at a sinner out drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. But when you see a sinner woman out on the street with herself dressed to attract attention of men, now don't tell me you are not trying to attract the attention of men. You are. That's right. You might as well come out and be truthful. Who are you trying to attract then?
Right.
Why, you dressing like that for then? Why are you dressing like that then.
Right.
Then you become a show to the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, you say, that's my privilege. And you, preacher, you ain't got no, yes, but if you're a lamb,
Amen.
You'll forfeit it.
Yes.
The Bible said, let the women dress in modest apparel as become holiness. And then in a message called The Perfection in Jeffersonville, 1957, in April the 19th, God in the beginning required perfection.
Yes.
Jesus, when he come to earth, said, be ye perfect, like God in heaven is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the law, having a shadow of things to come, could never make the worshiper perfect.
Yes.
You get the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go it again. So you'll be sure not to miss it. God requires perfect holiness. No one can stand in his presence with one little speck of sin.
Right.
Jesus witnessed the same and said, be perfect just like God in heaven is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hebrew series in August the 21st, 1957, Brother Branham's praying, I quote, Heavenly Father, several hands went up in this little meeting tonight that they want to take a hold tonight of your unchanging, eternal hand, knowing that what is committed to you, you said, all the Father has given me will come to me and none of them will be lost. And I'll raise them up at the last day, can never perish, can never come to judgment, but has eternal life. Eternal life. And there's only one eternal life that comes from God alone. It is God. And we become part of God so much that we're sons and daughters of God. When we have God's Spirit in us, we think like God. We think of righteousness and holiness.
Yes.
And we try to live to please him.
Yep, that's right.
Grant, Lord, that that type of life will enter every person that raised their hand.
Amen.
And those who should have raised their hands and did not.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that you'll be with them. Grant it, Father. And when journey is ended, life is finished. May we enter into peace at that day with him, where we'll never be old, never be sick, never be no trouble. Until then, keep us joyful and happy, praising him, and we ask it in his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen, Lord.
Further in the Hebrew series, in August the 28th, Brother Branham said, God was in the beginning, before there was any light, before there was ever an atom, before there was ever a star, before there was any visible thing, God filled all space. And in that was nothing but purity. Pure love, pure holiness, pure righteous. It was spirit. He covered the whole space all from eternity, where we can't fathom it. It goes beyond anything that we could imagine. And then continuing in a later service on the Great Shining Light, preaching in Jeffersonville, December the 22nd, 1957. What are we today then? We are stars. Every born again Christian is a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. A star to reflect the power and holiness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To reflect him in his love. To perfect him in his speech. To perfect him in his healing power. To perfect him in his resurrection.
Amen.
To reflect him in every way that he was reflected to us by God the Father. We are stars. Watch. What kind of a star should you be?
Yes.
The star was not guided by its own power. It was guided by the celestial powers of Almighty God. And if we're ever going to reflect sinners to Christ, we've got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:1 said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." If we're going to be a star to reflect the light of Christ, to bring sinners to Him, we've got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit, His indwelling nature within us. And if He dwells within us, all that God wants to do will be fulfilled in each of our lives, as it says in as Peter at another time expressed, "And if these things abide in you, you shall never fall."
Praise God.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
It's amazing that you can do certain things right and you'll never fall. Our son John, now pastoring, he listened to a tape that just bothered everybody trying to sleep at night. And it was "Handwriting on the Wall." I think the copy he had was out of Chicago. I'm going to quote from the Message, 1958, out of Waterloo, Iowa. He listened to it over and over and over and over again. "Handwriting on the Wall." Meeny, meeny, tico, you farson. There it was. This modern jokester, all getting out there and cracking some jokes about the God of heaven, which he thought he was safely, and he was all right to have a little fun out there with these girls and things. And oh, the tapesters was hanging and the confetti flying and the painted up girls was swinging around in the soldiers' arms. Just a regular rock and roll, having a big time, and knowing that the eye of God was looking down, the holy God of heaven, God's holiness requires judgment when sin is committed. His own attitude, His own great holiness proves that He must have justice.
Amen.
The next message, we've only got a couple more of these quotes, two more. One is in 58 in March the 16th in the morning. Harrisonburg, Virginia, as the eagle stirs her nest. If there ever was a time that Mammy Eagle is setting on the Pentecostal nest, it's today. There's too many loose feathers in the Pentecostal church. Oh, yes, you women bobbing off your hair, that's not right. The Bible said that it's wrong, and get out on an afternoon with put them little bitty old short clothes on to mow the yard. It's wrong. It's a sin in the sight of God to do that. And you say, "No, I don't wear shorts, I wear slacks." The Bible said a woman that'll put on a garment that pertains to a man, that's an abomination in the sight of God.
Yes.
God is ready to fly away yet. Yet it used to be that it was wrong for holiness women and women of the church to wear manicure or that stuff you put on that mouth and face. But you can't tell one from the other now. That what's the matter? Too many loose feathers. You know, that's the truth. That might make you sick, he said. As I said earlier in our testimony, my wife and I spent a couple years as a student pastor working with a senior pastor in South Bend, Indiana. Brother Branham mentions him in a good way, Brother Roy Weed. And the secretary of that church, as well as some of the men, they got into this worldliness.
Oh, dear.
You know, the lipstick and the rouge and everything, and you can buy it. And so the women got into it pretty heavy because they were going to wear it. The men weren't wearing it then. Men wear it today. Yeah, it's unfortunate that even the women do. And so they wanted to know if Joyce was going to participate, if I was going to acknowledge this. No, we didn't believe in that stuff. Mm-hmm. So in a short time, the Lord moved us on to minister somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted you to know that it was a big church. And he later became the presbyter over a region, and went and was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as a regional presbyter up there over several districts. And then this last quote is in on his message, Life in Everett, Maine, 1959, and it's May the 12th. Go over to Africa and see if that old boogie woogly, or ever what they call it, rock and roll, that's originated with the Hottentots in Africa. And you're trying to satisfy that longing and blessed holy thirst by poking that trash down in the place where God wants to live and to give you freedom and holiness and happiness. What a disgrace. What a letdown to the American people and to you Pentecostal people and Pilgrim Holiness and Nazarenes. You profess a higher calling than that. Shame on you. You're dying and rottening in your own corruption. Well, I'm glad that God didn't pick Brother Branham. He wasn't even born yet. You see, God didn't choose him among others to be the prophet. He wasn't even born. So the day he was born, the pillar of fire came in the window where he was born and was with him all of his life, every day. And I'll stand with that prophet as God stood with him. Amen. 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 Well, we're concluding now. Let's stand together, if you will.
Praise God.
And we're going to sing a song, One of Them.
All right.
I guess we know that. I'll need it on my board up here. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Let's just bow our heads while we're standing. Mm-hmm. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, the Bible that we have read. And we're thankful for your prophet, William Branham, that you ordained to be the light in this end time and bring these glorious truths to us, or we'd be lost, wandering out there, having no idea what to do. As your prophet said concerning the prophet that was to come, that we're not getting our private interpretations of the Bible as ministers in the denominations do. They're going to quote what somebody else said and somebody in of their own thoughts, and they quote that and bring that to their people. But we do not have a private interpretation. When we ask for revelation, your prophet said that you reveal to us that you have a prophet fulfilling scripture, and you are giving your interpreted word to that prophet in that age.
Amen.
We thank you for that, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done in each of our lives. And I pray that you will bless each person that is here this evening at whatever status of spiritual life they are at, that they will look steadfastly to you for a closer walk and a wonderful, wonderful future on this earth for the remaining days that we have. And we look forward to your soon coming. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.